Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you Star Center Olympus, Unarian Revelations. Our guests today are Celeste Pell and David Reynolds, and we will be speaking about Unarian insights on Oppenheimer and nuclear deterrence. Greetings and welcome, Celeste and David. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Fantastic. Wow, what a profound topic to be covering.
I think the Oppenheimer movie is quite timely.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the film?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Is it accurate, do you think?
Well, I think that's an interesting discussion. You want to give an intro, Celeste, or you want me to?
It's based on a book that is fairly accurate, but, you know, of anything that's of such a detailed history and trying to get into the mind of the person and how he thought, you know, they're only second guessing. So we are fortunate because Oppenheimer has a developed higher consciousness, and he's actually one of the Unarian brothers that came from the higher spiritual worlds, and he's back on that inner plane, specifically the spiritual plane of Eros, continuing his scientific work. And so we've had contacts with him in a book that we call Tesla Speaks, Volume 1. And we're going to reference some of that throughout the interview tonight.
Yes, thank you so very much for the material that you sent. I found it very interesting and thought-provoking.
So, Hercules, the Manhattan Project was characterized by an incredible coordinated effort between science, government, and industry. So the powers that be, the spiritual forces who are who are guiding our destiny,
mm-hmm.
planet Earth and other planets, they could look down the road and foresee that Germany had the possibility of developing an atomic bomb. So Oppenheimer and other scientists who were spiritually motivated incarnated at the right time to counter this negative influence or the negative forces. So Werner Heisenberg was in charge of the atomic bomb for the Nazi regime, and this was right after the two German scientists discovered atomic fission in 1939. So the world was, so Hitler thought that, well, since Germany discovered a nuclear fission, we can make this into a bomb and we can, you know, win World War II. So Oppenheimer and other people were strategically incarnated to counter this and make the atomic bomb for the United States and all the Allied forces. So there began a movement, a concentrated effort called the Manhattan Project, and he was not accidentally, if you ask me, placed in charge of the Manhattan Project. So from my viewpoint, this is an example of joining science and spirit. Here we had science who was ready to use Einstein's E equals MC square and make a huge bomb and kill a whole bunch of people. But at least we had Oppenheimer to moderate, who was right in the middle of it, right in the thick of it, who had a spiritual connection. In fact, he read Indian literature to make his spiritual consciousness come alive, so to speak. So he, according to Dr. Norman, he held back the development of the atomic bomb for 10 months because he knew he psychically saw, he had a little bit of clairvoyant ability, so he psychically saw the cataclysms, the destructive ability of the atomic bombs, and once they've been unleashed, what it would mean to planet Earth.
And I understand there was a psychic or spiritual component to fusion bombs, making them much more destructive than they already were.
Fission? Yeah, atomic bombs. So,
well, they didn't understand that because the scientists didn't understand the interdimensional nature of energy, and the atom wasn't just third dimensional, that the source of the atom is in the higher isotopic form, and we don't have knowledge of that. So to unleash that energy into the third dimension has potentially destructive, it's a much higher frequency implications. We didn't have the apparatus, the instruments to contain it. So, and we still don't. So that's the main issue.
And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but that issue is being addressed on the higher planes.
Well, fortunately, we have dissertations, transmissions from the higher spiritual worlds on Eros, as Celeste said, and Oppenheimer and Einstein and Niels Bohr gave dissertations from the inner planes after they graduated from their physical incarnation. And they describe how creation is absolutely interlocked together. So especially on the atomic scale, the atom, the physical atom, is absolutely interlocked with its counterpart, its spiritual counterpart known as the isotope. And quantum mechanics is introducing this on a quantum scale or subatomic scale called quantum entanglement. So everything is connected, just as Jesus said 2,000 years ago. But how are they connected? And this is what the science of Unarius really explains, because there are synchronization pulses that the vortex is connected to the physical atom. And when they destroy the uranium-235 through fission, they have no idea what they're doing to that atom or that part of creation or that part of infinite intelligence.
Now, Oppenheimer, I understand, had past lives that helped him prepare for his mission on Earth in this particular period in history. Which of his past lives gave him the background he needed to do his job effectively?
Well, one of them is Anaximenes. He was a pre-Socratic philosopher. And Anaxagoras was a student of Anaximenes. I don't know if I said it correctly.
Anaximenes.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And I understand his Niels Bohr was his brother, Anaximandros.
Niels Bohr. Had a connection at that time. He was Anaximander. Is that how you say it?
Good enough.
Yeah? Okay.
Anaximander. That's the way I say it, but anyway.
Anaximander. I was pronouncing it syllable by syllable because I'm not familiar, so okay.
So the whole effort behind Greece, the Grecian epic or philosophy or Renaissance, was to reestablish a positive influence of science and philosophy and civilization. So there was a lot of spiritual brothers and sisters incarnated in the Grecian time, and Anaxagoras was one of the key figures who put forth a lot of scientific knowledge. And so you can see how they prepared on the inner spiritual worlds with being Aristotle. Niels Bohr was Aristotle. And so this was a great planning that planet Earth was had to go through so their incarnations could be planned in advance. And so there was a great preparation. So the civilization of Greece was just part of the planning. So both Oppenheimer and Niels Bohr were philosophers at that time. And so they reincarnated back together again to counter the Nazi regime and to sort of make sure their understanding of the atom was coming into some kind of positive usage.
And they, of course, I don't think they remembered their past lives when they were incarnated here, but something inside them guided them as best it could. And you had said that Oppenheimer had a spiritual connection. Was he aware of the help that he was getting from the other side?
That I don't know, but I do know that he gave several lectures that highlighted what he saw clairvoyantly. And he said to in these lectures, he was saying that we don't have an accurate mathematics to go where we need to go. So he advocated the use of new mathematics. And Einstein basically said the same thing. And it has to do with an inner clairvoyance. In other words, once you conceive the idea that the atom is part of infinite intelligence, you're just not going to go around blowing it up. Because in the case of uranium, 235 or whatever, it started its evolution as a simple hydrogen atom, and it worked its way up through the periodic table through billions and billions of years. And after it was going to pass, you know, being a uranium atom, it was going to keep evolving into more complex atomic structures. That is yet part of our future. This is what Unarius teaches. So for scientists just to blow it to smithereens without any knowledge of what they're doing is a kind of a negative thing. So at least there was a lesser of two evils. At least Oppenheimer incarnated and was placed in charge of the Manhattan Project to at least try to see that it was had tremendous destructive capability unless there was some governor put on it or guidance. So he, afterwards, he advocated the peaceful use of of atomic fission. And so Enrique Fermi developed an atomic pile or became one of the first atomic generators, and then but anyway, the main thing is that Oppenheimer could see the need for nuclear deterrence. He could see nuclear proliferation in his mind's eye, and he probably tried to warn, you know, our scientists and government by his lectures.
He actually met after the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima, actually met with President Truman, who ultimately ordered that and said he had blood on his hands. And Truman thought he was a crybaby scientist. He never wanted to speak to him again because he said, I made the decision to do that. But Oppenheimer had an audience with him and tried to have him see that if just one power, civilization, country had this bomb, then it gave an imbalance of power, and that perhaps the other planetary powers would gang up on the one that had it to try to do a preemptive strike. So he didn't understand that at all, and they thought they'd gotten a great new advantage and wanted to develop it even more. So it fell on deaf ears at the time. It really wasn't until the Kennedy administration, particularly after the Bay of Pigs in Cuba, that full nuclear deterrence and starting to have nuclear arms race reined in, so to speak, with the different treaties and such, which also was perpetuated by President Reagan really came to be. But even in the movie, it shows that Nazi Germany had already surrendered, Hitler had already committed suicide, and so why are we still going to use this nuclear device, this nuclear bomb? So they really didn't fully understand the power of it and what it was going to create as far as destruction and harming or killing millions and millions of people. And the military wanted to use it against Japan because they felt that they would not surrender, and they'd already killed 1,000 civilians in trying to stop the Japanese. And again, if they'd known maybe millions of people were going to be killed or have eventually with cancers developing from the radiation, that they wouldn't have used it, but they wanted to drop two different cities to say, hey, this is just an accident. You know, we're forced to be contended with, and to really be a deterrent for the Japanese to surrender, that if you don't, you know, we have this powerful weapon. So Oppenheimer was definitely not for the dropping of the second bomb. And then it was one of the British, is it British scientist, David, that was involved in the Manhattan Project that turned out to be a spy. And he took information that they had back to Russia, who in World War II was an ally. However, they started developing the bomb, and that's when Oppenheimer was really motivated to start speaking up and motivated to speak to President Hoover that if they develop this, that we definitely, even though they seem to be pretty much an ally right now, we need to have this nuclear deterrent. You can't have us having, you know, starting a war, because it's not like pre-nuclear bomb time. Now it has great implications for the destruction it would cause on this planet.
And the treaties seem to have worked thus far, although several countries have nuclear capacity and they do test their bombs. There hasn't been another Hiroshima or Nagasaki, as far as I know, since that time. So I'm glad that those deterrents are in place.
Well, the problem is now that if you read all the different stuff out on the Internet, China and Russia and now I'm sure North Korea think perhaps that they can have what did they call them when they're not so big a radius, the smaller nuclear armaments that they've threatened to use in Ukraine, that they could have a more controlled use of them. And that is not a positive thing at all. And
no,
part of the issue in our country is that we have, by the treaties, reduced our arsenal of nuclear weapons. We could still respond, but the Russians correspondingly have not done as much of that. And our system, a lot of it needs to be updated or modernized, and there's been a lack of leadership to do that. So to have that deterrent still be working, we do really need to modernize. We have nuclear weapons and would like to totally be disarmed, but that's not the state of the world right now. So we do need to make sure that we are modernized and we can streamline what we have, that to continue that same balance of power and the nuclear deterrent.
And from what you were saying, Oppenheimer, Niels Bohr, and Einstein are working on a deterrent from the spiritual planes right now.
Well,
they're
working on
that...
development, yes. Most definitely. Sorry, David, go ahead.
One of the things that Oppenheimer warned our world about, and Tesla speaks volume one, is the nuclear power generation. So he warned that a lot of catastrophic failures were occurring, but they were kept from the public eye. So sure enough, he was right. You know, we had Three Mile Island in 1979, Chernobyl, 1986. Tokamura in 1999, Fukushima 2011, Hanford nuclear site in Washington. And so these are not understanding what atoms are for and the negative use of atomic power plants are definitely not the way to go. So there are projects in the spiritual world of Eros where those three you just mentioned are describe a cosmic generator, as Dr. Norman explained. The real functionality of the sun is not creating a huge temperature in which fusion of two hydrogen atoms will occur. He says it's a much better analogy if you were to just make a cyclotron. And if you can imagine isotopes of hydrogen spinning around very, very fast in a cyclotron, it would induce in the center a force field that would be glowing output of electromagnetic energy because it was sort of mimicking a vortex. So this is what Dr. Norman described in the book, Infinite Contact, is a much better solution than trying to duplicate atomic fusion, which is completely misunderstood. So what scientists think is you've got to develop, 100 billion or 100 million degree temperature, and you've got to heat plasma up, and in that the nuclei of hydrogen will fuse together. Well, that is not how the sun works, according to Unarius, but that is a misunderstanding. So what they're doing is they're trying to create an extreme heat and pressure to duplicate what's going on in the sun. And Dr. Norman, just like I said that a cyclotron, a spinning energy field, will propagate in the middle of it an electromagnetic force field, which can be tapped into, and that's how the sun works. So the sun is actually converting energies from the higher spiritual fourth dimension, fifth dimension, sixth dimension, through a vortexual activity or a vortexual movement down into this third dimension. And it converts it into electromagnetic energy. And then our Earth, being the secondary transformer-like, we'll take that energy and convert it to heat and light and gravity and whatever we need to sustain our life here. So there's a misunderstanding of the electronic processes going on in the sun, and this is what Unarius and Dr. Norman explain. And that's one of the projects that Oppenheimer and other people are working on the higher planes. In other words, how to provide planet Earth with plenty of power that it needs for future generations without destroying the atom. That's what their project is. And then Tesla Speaks Volume 2 highlights Nikola Tesla's work, and they're all part of the Tesla Center of Learning on the Inner Worlds, and he, of course, is advocating the use of a power tower, in which was very similar to power generation used in Atlantis, where there was a high-frequency field of energy that was stepped up like a laser, and the crystal placed on the top of a pyramid was the output device, and coherent beams of energy were radiated to different parts of Atlantis, powering the whole continent. So there's different projects on the inner worlds that are coming about without just the need of destroying atoms. Isn't that exciting?
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it is. And there's scientists on, no doubt, incarnated that have been in these teaching centers and laboratories working with these scientists on the inner worlds that are developing the forerunner of the cosmic generator David talked about, the future power tower. We don't know about it, but that doesn't mean it isn't going on.
Is this similar to
That's
what
right,
used in the Interplanetary Confederation as well?
They already have the knowledge of interdimensional physics and have developed this ability to have power generation, but their power towers that they have are not going to be fully functional until Earth steps up and becomes officially the 33rd world and has its own power tower.
So one of the ways, Hercules, that our scientists today are being inspired intuitively, telepathically, is from these scientists on the other 33 other worlds. The Interplanetary Confederation has a huge resource of scientific information that they are trying to transmit through the powers of inspiration and intuition to our scientists. So some of our scientists are already aware to some extent there's no need to destroy the atom. So Oppenheimer or Dr. Norman realized that, you know what, once they learn fission, then they have knives in little babies' hands. And once you give a little baby knives, sharp knives, they're going to hurt themselves. So this is what there's an effort to try to give us more intelligent understanding of energy. So in our future, this is what Unarius really shines bright about, and we give lectures on this, is that planet Earth has a positive future, and there are scientific institutions right now, MIT being one of them, the scientists are being inspired by these teaching centers on the higher spiritual worlds and by these other scientists who are part of the Interplanetary Confederation. I mean, wouldn't it be great for them to land and just share this technology? Well, I'm not sure that would be all that welcome, but in the future, I think it would be better for us to develop it and realize the benefits of it by the struggle, as opposed to them landing here and just handing it over or sharing it, which I don't know which was going to happen, but there is a philosophical debate about which way is the better way to go.
A lot of scientists are being inspired in writing metaphysical almost books on quantum mechanics and quantum physics, and so science has become spiritualized to a very great degree. Even in psychology and the mind sciences, there's a lot of adapting of ancient wisdom and the newer sciences. So it'd be very interesting to see what type of information comes out. I'm seeing information coming out that I never thought would be public in my lifetime, and now it's all over the place. So I'm glad that this inspiration is happening, and it's quite a responsibility for us to develop this technology for holding back the rest of the Interplanetary Confederation and utilizing the power towers.
Yes,
they don't look at it that way, as we might so much as a negative thing, because they have a bigger picture and a greater understanding. They understand our past history. They understand the whole principles of past life therapy, and that until more people are spiritually awakened and see the continuity of life and their own life in particular, and how we've misused these devices, how the warring that happened at the end of Atlantis caused the crystal on top of the generator to be struck, and that had great repercussions and caused an earthquake, a tsunami, and the whole sinking of the continent, which actually was already broken up into several smaller islands. But all those islands of Atlantis to sink and ended that civilization on the negative side. That until we recognize some of our past history and learn from it, then if that's still part of our negative psychic, would we repeat that again? I think that's what partly David's alluding to, is that we need to go through that process rather than just have someone show up and say, here's this advanced knowledge, because we know that there's individuals that would want to use it for power and control and making money, et cetera.
Superiority.
Yeah.
So back at the Manhattan Project, the movie did, if you listen carefully to some of the dialogue, there was a dialogue about the importance of having Russia have knowledge of the atomic bomb, because that would mean there would be a balance of power. In fact, Dr. Norman wrote that had it not been for this giving Russia the secrets to the atomic bomb, the United States would have had such a superiority attitude, it would have dominated the rest of the world, and Russia would have been forced to make a sneak attack plan to completely overwhelm the United States in a brief period of time because of fear-based thinking. So it's incredible, the forethought and the inspiration that was coming forth into this project. And so Niels Bohr and Oppenheimer, who were brothers in spirit, they both, even though they were in different parts of the world, they both knew that Russians were our brothers and sisters. And if we had any inkling of the of understanding of the Christ consciousness, we would not treat the Russians as pure enemies, which is what Truman and the rest of the administration were wanting to do. So fortunately, there were a group of people who realized that it would be more important for Russia, our ally at the time, to have that understanding of how to build a bomb. That way we would have a balanced condition, and it would not be an imbalanced condition. So in a way, deterrence is working partially, but it could be better. there's an interesting book that Unarius has, Exploring the Universe with Starship Voyager. And
yes, that is
Starship Voyager. Starship Voyager went and explored 70 planets, and they went to one of them, Hercules. The planet was called Xeon, and it's in our galaxy, and the beings there had no nuclear deterrence. They had many different nations who were very, very advanced with physics and electronics and nuclear bombs. And they used it on themselves, and they basically almost wiped out their civilization, their planet. So some of the beings had no choice but to escape into a mechanical robot device, to live their existence out in this mechanical container, this metal container, to protect them from radiation sickness and cancer. And when the Starship Voyager showed up, they found this deplorable situation. But because Voyager was the spearhead of Interplanetary Confederation, and they said to the people there that do not give up hope, we have a tremendous planetary confederation of resources, doctors, and healers who could change this all around. So they had no choice but to accept, put their hand of trust into the Starship Voyager, and they were able to turn their planet around. And so one of the captains of the Starship Voyager gave planet Earth a very strong warning that unless we're careful with, you know, our own superiority and trying to prove that we're superior and we have the best weapons, the strongest weapons, et cetera, we could end up doing what that planet Xeon did, which is they accidentally exploded all of their weapons depots all around their world. So in a way, it's a possibility we could do the same thing, planet Earth, through the nuclear electromagnetic fields that are released and propagated. It's a possibility, a danger, that planet Earth could go down that same road. However, I'm sure that planet Earth is under a protectorate and guidance of the spiritual worlds, and that will be not allowed to happen.
I'm hoping another, so. It would be horrible.
Yeah. Well, more on that, but just to back up, that was a great example that David gave of mm-hmm. what happened to the planet. What was it, Xeon?
Xeon, Z-E-O-N.
Xeon, yeah. And in the Interplanetary Confederation planets themselves, there's a planet Indonite, and they had very advanced technology, and they misused it in terms of the radioactive element for weapons, and they caused an explosion that caused them to have to live underground because their whole surface was contaminated, actually turned all the vegetation died, and it turned the whole planet into red dust. But when they kept underground, they were mutants. They developed just one eye in their forehead, and they had like extra appendages, set of arms, and they were mentally retarded. So it's quite fascinating.
And they never saw the sun.
Yeah, underground, definitely didn't see the sun. But it's quite fascinating to listen to the contacts that Uriel, through her sub-channels, had with the planetary leader, Souza, who at one time had a spiritual development, but he had been there and had been responsible for this happening. And it caused him to have deformities and also to retard him mentally. When she first contacted him, he was having a very hard time communicating with her. And she gave this tremendous healing protection from the inner worlds and her higher consciousness that was set up to the whole planet. And, of course, that helped Souza himself. So when another contact came through, he just couldn't wait. He was so excited, and it was just a total change in frequency with his consciousness. And he's come through since then with other contacts that we've had with the Space Brothers during our Interplanetary Confederation celebration, I believe in 2007 in particular, and described how they made contacts with, after that polarization with Uriel, with the lens, which we've talked about before, which is like a vast plant, so to speak, in the spiritual realms of this tremendous knowledge, energy, and asked for help. And they were able to devise with their technology devices to change the whole frequency of the planet to heal it, and then eventually for them to be able to come back and live on top of the world, or the Earth. And then they started the new generations coming through, and they were no longer mutated. Were being born as normal individuals, both physically and mentally. So that's very exciting. But what Souza came through with, gee, we went through this, and this is a tremendous negation for our planet and our people, and we've turned it around. So don't give up hope on your planet. Things may look really dire, but there's always this tremendous help being projected to your Earth world all the time and individually to each one of you. And we've talked before how as more and more people feel that and spiritually awaken, and our souls then that are going to take active roles in ensuring that our planet moves forward in this positive plan and is open to eventually the contact and arrival of these advanced beings from the other worlds. So Souza is a cheerleader for us. And I had a wonderful experience because I shared information about him and his planet at a conclave celebration years ago, and was very in tune with him. And we went outside for what we call our proclamation for world peace, talking about the future with the Interplanetary Confederation and the beautiful dove release. And I was a trumpeter heralding, not with real trumpets, of course, but heralding the release of the doves, and very uplifting, transcending moment. And in that higher consciousness, had the mental image of Susa being right there with me in consciousness, as we know all the interplanetary peoples are with us. They're celebrating as well when we celebrate that event. But very much there with me in consciousness and saying, I'm real, I'm right here with you. And it was such a tremendous experience. And then later, even when I'm not in that same higher state of consciousness, I'm thinking it was almost surreal, like it didn't really happen. But I know it did.
Wow, that is an amazing experience. And you have a conclave of light coming up next month in October, right?
Yes. The 40th on October 14th. And
congratulations.
Mm-hmm. So back to the Manhattan Project, when the atomic bombs were experimented with and released, they had no idea how that electromagnetic energy would be propagated and stepped up in frequency and affect other planets. That is why after 1945, we had lots of vehicles from other worlds visit us, UAPs or UFOs or what do you want to call them. They have been coming here to try to influence us in a spiritual way. And so Unarius is predicting that there will be a mass landing one day in the future, and that's when the Space Brothers will land, because we will have to ask for their help, just like Susa had to and Zeon had to. We will have to ask for the Interplanetary Confederation to help us get through this negative cycle so that we can properly use technology and progress into our progressive evolution.
So, David, should we mention that because our potential use of the atomic bomb unleashes energies from the fourth dimension, it affects other planets in our galaxy because they're all part of that energy fabric of the fourth dimension energetically, not just physical planets, and can also have repercussions or generate negatively into the spiritual realm. So we most definitely feel, and I know you could talk about the Bay of Pigs, that there are times when they don't interfere, but when it could cause rounds beyond our planet, that there has been deterrence by the other worlds that are more advanced spiritually and technologically, as well as in conjunction with the spiritual worlds, to stop certain testing of nuclear weapons or potential almost like Bay of Pigs, what happened there. I thought that was a great example, David, for you to share.
Well, you mean the nuclear missiles that were going to be placed in Cuba?
Yeah, what you felt with the what happened with the submarine that was carrying the nuclear missiles coming from Russia, what you felt happened in relationship to Ernest Norman being incarnated at the time.
This was the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yes.
And so Dr. Norman was incarnated at this time, and he had a tremendous, he was trying to influence our leaders, political leadership, our scientific leaders in a positive direction. And there was a lot of investment the spiritual brotherhood had made in planet Earth. The civilization of Greece, I've already mentioned, is one time. But many of the scientists from Eros incarnated here, including Einstein. So there was a tremendous and Tesla. There was already a tremendous scientific investment in planet Earth. So for the Russians to try to put nuclear missiles in Cuba to point them at the United States, President Kennedy activated the Monroe Doctrine and said, nope, we can't do that because that's an existential threat to our existence. So they put up a blockade around Cuba, as you know, and there was a submarine who was trying to run the blockade, and the commander, the lead commander of the submarine, documented, I don't know, somewhere in the history or KGB declassified documents, that he felt an inner prompting to turn around and not pursue this. So
wow.
I'm sure Dr. Norman persuaded psychically this Russian commander to stop what he was doing and turn around and not pursue this.
Well, I'm glad that was done, because that was a very tense situation, certainly here in the United States, if not globally. And I'm glad that was done.
Years ago, the KGB released a lot of classified documents, declassified them, and one of them, somebody read that Oppenheimer and Niels Bohr were two people who made sure the Russians had the secret to building the atomic bomb. And nobody knew exactly who it was. They had suspicions. So you can see how this is all very much planned from the inner world, so that Oppenheimer and Niels Bohr and Einstein and other people who were for peaceful uses of the atomic bomb or whatever could be there right in the thick of it, because many people were communist sympathizers and were members of the Communist Party. And so the United States, they were very concerned and fearful that, communism was going to spread into the United States. So Oppenheimer had the opportunity, of course, to think of the Russians as brothers and not necessarily as truly enemies, but they were allies at the time, so they had to be treated in a spiritual way of thinking, not a militaristic way of thinking.
There are always forces that are counter to the finer things in life and the spiritual evolution, and that's part of the eternal struggle of this plane of being.
So true. It's the principle of positive and the negative, where there's and the hierarchy, the advanced higher beings that masterminded this plan millions of years ago to move planet Earth and us. They foresaw, in their very advanced higher minds, they foresaw that any plan to move things forward would have the opposite, that's just the principle of energy. So then they set in motion with their plan the positive plus to counter that negativity. And that's always what happens, because the infinite is continually positively biased in regenerating and moving forward. So that's just a really fantastic thing. Or, the whole, how would you say, if you didn't have that positive plus, the whole thing could implode. So I love thinking about that when it seems like, oh my gosh, things look hopeless. No, there's this master plan, and there's the positive plus, and there's a plan to counter this negativity. It's been foreseen, not that we're not active participants in it and have to do our part, but we're not going to blow ourselves up anymore.
That's very reassuring. And Unarius's mission, it seems, even on a supergalactic level, is a positive progression. So that's very reassuring as well.
So our future, the future of planet Earth, we need people who are receivers from this this inner clairvoyant ability, so they can receive from the inner worlds and from their higher self. So you can read the history books and get the Unarius perspective about Oppenheimer having a developed higher self, Niels Bohr, Einstein. They all had some higher self, higher superconsciousness that they were able to tap into. So that's what's needed in planet Earth. Thinkers, psychiatrists, therapists, scientists, philosophers who will proceed into the future with this inner awareness, this clairvoyant ability, and not totally depend on equations. Because just because we have fantastic, fancy equations and have all kinds of technology does not mean we have a spiritual understanding. So once again, the atom has to be seen as an extension of infinite intelligence or the infinite mind. And so therefore, we have to treat it with respect. As Tesla said, my mind is a receiver. And he knew he was receiving from other dimensions. He just didn't know enough about it to articulate it. So this is what Unarius articulates and explains how we need to develop future thinkers, innovators who have this ability. And what is it that philosopher said? Those who do not remember the past are
doomed to repeat it.
So, you know, Unarius has books on what went wrong with Atlantis, what went wrong with the continent in the middle of the Pacific, Lemuria, and what could go wrong if the people on planet Earth who want a positive future do not remember their past. Once you remember the negative past, Hercules, your future is well identified into the positive future.
And
I think Hercules addressed when you said, David, we have a need for people who have this ability to have this connection with their higher self, to clairvoyantly receive inspiration, whatever field they're in. I think Hercules touched on that, which is so important, seeing how in his lifetime there's been an opening up and how he never would have thought in fields, not just in science, but in psychology, et cetera, there's more of a spiritual, higher spiritual understanding coming into the works rather than it just being third dimensional. And so it is happening.
Yes. Yes, we just need to fan it. It.
Well, if there's any way that both of you can think of a way we can use this show to help fan those flames, please talk to me. I'd be more than happy to put the show in service of a better world.
Sure.
And unfortunately, our conversation is ending today. We have like 6 minutes left, and I'd like for you to share information on how people can find Unarius and also to find out more information about your upcoming conclave.
Sure. Well, we have a primary website, www.unarius.org, and contact us through email now. So Uriel, U-R-I-E-L, at Unarius, UNARIUS.org. Also, people can contact us through our Facebook site for Unarius, Facebook Messenger. And there's tons of information on our website. We also have a Vimeo channel. We've made over 100 videos, great introduction to Unarius and all of its different applications from past life therapy and some of the psychodramas and the basic lesson course of Unarius, concept of cosmic creation. We have a YouTube channel. We have clips of past events and workshops and lectures. And there's the clips from past interplanetary conclave of lights. And if you go to our website under classes and events, and then under the events link, you'll find all the details of the events, There's links to register on Saturday the 14th in the afternoon from 1 to 4, our time and Pacific time. We have a great lineup of it all can be watched via Zoom at no charge, and there's a link to register for that. And the final activity of the day, the beautiful dove release, that actually, because it's outside, you won't be able to Zoom, but we will be live streaming it via Facebook, so you'll be able to see it there, and then it'll be archived there. And on Sunday morning, we're having a past life therapy workshop that people can register for and participate from home, as well as attend in person. And then we haven't done this for a while, a potential future landing site for the Space Brothers, a property we own east of Elton in the community of Hamul. We're doing a caravan out there to visit that property and talk about its positive purpose, past history of how it's been used in filming, and we'll have the space cat out there. And then in the evening, we close with our capstone event, which, as we mentioned, every conclave we have a contact with the Space Brothers, a mental transmission through several students who have demonstrated they have that ability to be a clear receiver for the message. And that is open to the public to attend in person or to register for and attend via Zoom. And there's just tremendous positive light field energy, love energy projected over the whole weekend, not just for us, but the whole of planet Earth. And it's just a fantastic event. So I hope in some way that people can participate. And if they can't participate live, we'll probably also have clips of it online and MP4 available to purchase later.
And I put a link to that event and also to your Vimeo channel on the promos. And I'm sorry, David, also?
Well, I was going to recommend that if a person is really interested in getting started with reading the Unaria studies or books, the Pulse of Creation series is an excellent series of books, the first one being The Voice of Eros. The very first chapter is Nikola Tesla describes his home on the inner worlds and all the different projects that he and the scientific brothers are involved with. The Voice of Eros, The Voice of Hermes, The Plane of Philosophy, The Voice of Teaching, Orion, et cetera, et cetera. There are seven volumes, the Pulse of Creation series is an excellent way to begin studies of Unarians.
And I'm actually introducing those my local groups.
Yeah, great. Actually, what you're referring to, David, was what we talked about at the very beginning, that a lot of the source of the information Unarius has received about the work of Oppenheimer, et cetera, came from the Tesla Speaks series, and Tesla Speaks Volume 1 is a great introductory book, and it really is more about what goes on the plane of spiritual plane of Eros, the scientific plane.
And my
there are many different projects that are going to be coming to the future. In fact, Tesla Speaks Volume 1 already predicted certain breakthroughs in the manufacture of glass and building materials for the future. And MIT and other places have already invented new building materials. Like, for example, there is a certain kind of glass that's 10 times stronger than any known glass substance we have. As the brother stated, that's the future building material that we are going to have. And all this is predicted psychically, clairvoyantly in 1973, and now it's coming to fruition.
And I'd love to do a show on that. We have a few more seconds left. I want to thank you both very much. I look forward to these conversations, and I learned a lot today, giving me a lot to think about as well. And I look forward to our next one. I wish you great success at the conclave. Please give my regards to all my Unarian brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
And very much. You've been a fantastic host, as usual. We really appreciate your positive consciousness and support of Unarius, Hercules.
My pleasure.
And I bet you you were reincarnated in Greece.
I would think so.
Yes.
Thanks again. I'll talk to you both soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.